Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In preparing for Advent and Lent worship services, I generally try to consider how I can bring the readings for the season together into a coherent message, something that you can follow along over the next 5 weeks between now and Palm Sunday, while at the same time giving you something that you can take home and learn from each week. For this year, in looking at the appointed readings for each of the Sundays in Lent, the theme they suggested for me was this question of what is a Christian? So what is a Christian? There's a very simple answer to this question, of course, the same answer that we learn in confirmation class. A Christian is one who believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior from sin and death. This is something that comes about by faith in God's grace, not because of anything that we do to deserve it, but solely on account of God's great love for us. Period. However, that says what makes one a Christian or how one becomes a Christian, but there's more to being a Christian than what we believe. After all, as a believer in God, as a follower of Jesus Christ, as one who has been bought and redeemed from sin, death, and the devil by Christ's all-atoning sacrifice on the cross, this truth permeates and pervades every aspect of my life. My faith affects my life, how I live. Christians are known by their fruits. You will recognize them by their fruits, Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 7, toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So then, what are these fruits of faith? What does it mean for our life to be molded and formed by our faith in Jesus? Now, I'm sure when I mentioned the idea of bearing fruit, at least a few of you thought of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are good fruits, ones which will be present in our lives as Christians when we are living in and by the Spirit. But we're going to look right now at some other fruits during this Lenten season, ones that we might not always consider. The first one is found in our epistle reading for today. In James chapter 1, verse 12, where he says, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial." So, steadfastness under trial. Then what does it mean for us to remain steadfast under trial? Now, to talk about steadfastness under trial, we also need to talk about trials. And that's something that we talk about quite frequently. That, after all, life on earth isn't easy, and it's not meant to be easy. I don't think there's anyone that I need to tell or that's going to come as a shock that life ain't easy. Living in a sin-filled world, we are beset by trials all around us. Looking at the world around us, war, and pandemic, and hunger, and sickness, all of these things in the world around us, uncertainty on the global stage, which trickles down to affect every aspect of our lives. But then there are also those things that are so much closer to home. in work the temptation to cheat, to be dishonest, or simply malaise in your job and a desire for something different. Perhaps in the family, strife in your relationships, or anger, or infighting, or distance between yourself and your loved ones, whether it is physical distance or emotional distance. My sister lives on exactly the opposite side of the planet from us right now, and while Zoom and Discord make it easier to keep in contact, that does mean that it's so much harder for her to be home when things happen, which makes it so much harder on her. Or perhaps in your personal life, things like addiction, or financial difficulty, or loss of purpose in life, or distraction from the things that are really important. All of these can be or can compound into trials that we face. Although there are some things that also come from outside as well. Sickness, grief or loss, death in the family, job loss because of something that someone else did, the company is downsizing, or a relationship that falls apart because of something the other person did, which is still affecting you. A sin that someone else committed for which you now are paying the price. Your parents did something which affects you. Your spouse did something which hurts you. All of these can be trials that we face on a daily basis. Where do these things come from? Well, the first thing to say is, as James says in verse 13, temptations do not come from God. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Temptations do not come from God. He doesn't tempt us to sin. His desire is never for us to fall into sin. But he is really good at testing our faith, as he did to Abraham. In our Old Testament reading for today, Abraham is told to sacrifice his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loves. What a horrible command that is for God to give to a father, especially when this is the son who was born when Abraham was 100 years old. Abraham, I'm sure, didn't want to follow through. He didn't have to. Fortunately, in the end, God told him not to do it, that this was a test to test Abraham, that Abraham's faith was in God and not in himself or his offspring or anything like that, that his faith was in God's promise that through Isaac, his descendants would be counted. But the test came nonetheless, and that is something that happens to us as well. But then what is the goal of a test? A test isn't to force you to fail, it's to show you that you can succeed. The goal is for you to pass the test this week, guys. Confirmation as a test on Tuesday, which I definitely planned that this way. But temptations don't come from God. Temptations come, as we read in our gospel reading, from the devil, from the world, and even from within ourselves. Each person is tempted, verse 14, when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. This comes from the devil and from ourselves. The devil, his goal is to draw us away from God, to draw us to rely on ourselves instead of relying on God. Our own desires seek to entrap us in the allures and pleasures of the world. The desire leads to the sin, which sin leads to death. Paul says, Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. So when these trials come upon us, when these tests and temptations come upon us, what can we as Christians do? What else can we do but look to Jesus? Because according to Hebrews chapter 4, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Jesus is fully human, so he can sympathize with us. Jesus, our high priest, is truly human. He has suffered like us. He has faced all the trials and temptations the same as us. Jesus hungered and thirsted during his earthly life. Jesus was driven to righteous anger by the faithlessness of his people. He grieved the loss of his dear friend Lazarus in John chapter 11. Jesus experienced every aspect of life the same as we do. And in our gospel reading, we read of Jesus being tempted by the devil, an incident which is expanded on in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, that the devil comes to Jesus in the wilderness when he has been there for 40 days and 40 nights fasting, and the first thing he asks him to do is to turn stones into bread, to rely on himself instead of God's provision. Then the devil tempted him to take the easy road to notoriety, to test God's protection by leaping from the top of the temple and trust that God will protect him. Then finally, the devil tempted him to circumvent God's plan for salvation, to gain the whole world at the cost of bowing down to Satan. All the kingdoms of the world I offer to you if you will just bow down and worship me. How easy it would have been for Jesus to give in, to take the easy road, to avoid the cross, to seek earthly glory. How many of us would have fallen just to that first temptation after so long without food? But not Jesus. Jesus remained steadfast in the face of temptation. Jesus resisted the temptation and endured the trial. Relying on God's word, Jesus overcame all temptations for you. Turn stones into bread to feed the body. Man does not live on bread alone. What is earth eternally important isn't the physical body, but our faith, our trust that God will provide. Leap from the temple, go viral 2,000 years early. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. God's plan is always best. Worship Satan to gain the world. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. For all in Mark 8, it says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? There is no compromising with Satan. Jesus resisted and endured steadfast under trial. All of this he did for you, so he can sympathize with you in your weakness, So by his strength, you can remain steadfast when you face these same trials and temptations. Our steadfastness, our faithfulness, our endurance, it comes from nowhere else but from Christ, because Jesus took our place in our baptism. He took our place in the baptismal waters. In his temptation, he took our place in the devil's crosshairs. In his life, he took our place under the law, fulfilling it perfectly on our behalf. In his crucifixion and death, he took our place in the grave. And then in his resurrection, he gives us his place in eternal life. So thus, our steadfastness in the face of trials comes from Jesus himself. Like Jesus, we resist the temptation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Like Jesus, we turn to Scripture for aid and guidance when faced by the difficulties of this life. Like Jesus, we also are attended by angels as we struggle against sin and temptation. And so a Christian remains steadfast under trials, as James tells us in chapter 2. This doesn't mean that the trials will pass us by, James 1. This doesn't mean that the trials will pass us by. Far from it. Christians can and do face difficulties and trials and temptations in this life. In fact, Christians are more likely to struggle than non-Christians. Thinking about this from Satan's perspective, that only makes sense. If you are a military commander faced with two targets, which would you attack, the enemy's stronghold or your own stronghold? Satan, his enemy is God and anyone who believes in him. And so, as Christians, we are the battleground in the spiritual struggle against Satan. And yet, blessed are you when you remain steadfast under trial, when you resist temptation, when you turn the other cheek and refuse the temptation to anger, when you show love and compassion to those who persecute and mock you for your faith. We are blessed when we surround ourselves with God's word, when we let it be the first thing on our minds when we wake up, the last thing we think about when we fall asleep. It's by the power of God's word that we are equipped to resist the devil's wiles. And so we are blessed when we feed regularly on Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper. Spiritual nourishment for the spiritual contest. Jesus places himself on the table for you. He gives you himself to strengthen you to remain steadfast in the fight. We are blessed when we follow our Lord and Savior in remaining steadfast under trial in resisting the devil. But what about those times when we are not so steadfast, when we fall under the tempter's power and sin? What about the times when we give in to peer pressure, when we allow the mockery of the world to stymie our faithfulness, the times when our desires turn into sins, turn into death? What about then? Do not lose heart. Do not give up. God's promise remains faithful and true, even when the devil's temptations feel overwhelming. Jesus has taken on all temptations, not just to sympathize when you suffer, but to atone for your sins, for the times when you give in to the desire for sin. The good and perfect gift that comes from above in verse 17, the good and perfect gift from above coming down from the Father, that is forgiveness for your sins. That Jesus remained steadfast under trial, and his steadfastness is your steadfastness. There is no eternal penalty for your sin. Jesus took it all away of his own will. Now all that remains is his perfect gift, bringing you through temptation and into the blessings of eternal life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.